Okay, I'm all in.
This is the only poker show in St. Louis radio.
I wanna hold them like they do in Texas, please.
With the only St. Louisan to make it to the final table of the 2008 World Series of Poker main event.
Shuffle up the deal.
This is the Lumiere Place Final Table with Dennis Phillips and Paul Harris on 590 The Fan, KFNS.
And welcome to downtown St. Louis. Another busy night in the Lumiere Poker Room. Although we know a lot of St. Louisans who are playing poker elsewhere tonight, and we'll get to that in just a moment. I'm Paul Harris, along with St. Louis's poker millionaire, Dennis Phillips. And we got a lot of stuff to get to tonight. You've lined up a member of this year's November 9 for us tonight.
I have. Remember, I met with all nine of them after the main event went down to the final table.
Yep.
Talked with them. I've had several of them give me a call. One of them is Kevin, a gentleman from Florida. Excellent guy. He is also, I'm proud to announce, signed with Poker Stars. He's
nice.
One of my fellow compadres there now.
Terrific. Kevin Schaffel. So we'll talk to him. In just a few minutes. Also, of course, Joe McGowan, the poker coach, will join us. We got a very interesting email from a listener who was frustrated by the competition in mid-level games and so decided to go play some low-limit games and found himself running into trouble there and not able to beat the table and wants some advice from Joe and from you as well.
Okay.
So we're going to get to that in a little while. Also later on, your buddy Bernard Lee, who hosts his own poker radio show in Boston, is going to come on. He's involved in some sort of new ESPN online show, right?
That is true. Chris Moneymaker will be the first guest, and yours truly will be there next week at it, on a TV show.
An online TV show.
Online TV show, yes, very much so. It's going to be sort of like This Week in Poker on it, where we get to analyze some things, talk about what's coming up, just review the whole week in poker.
Pretty cool. All right. I mentioned that the Lumiere Place Poker Room is packed tonight here in St. Louis, but we know a lot of people from this area who have gone about 5 hours south to Tunica, Mississippi, the Las Vegas of the South, as they like to refer to themselves, because that the gold strike there is the World Poker Open. I mentioned it last week because our friend Kevin Steffen, who runs One Time Apparel, one of our sponsors, is down there and selling shirts and hats and a lot of his other gear and doing very, very well with the poker players who are there. But you told me that you heard about something that was going on down there that was kind of a unique tournament. What was that?
It's something I'd never heard of before. A couple of friends of mine, Kenny Peel, he's called Bad Hat, is his nickname, if you want to do it, and Michael Woods, who's the White Tiger, came up with a concept of they're calling it Cash Blast on it. It's a no-limit hold'em tournament that you can cash out at any time. Yeah,
so,
think on this.
So it sounds like, to me, it's a cash game with rising blinds.
You can do it either way. That's one way to say it. It's a cash game structured like a tournament, or it's a tournament with cash options.
Mm-hmm.
Whichever way you want to do it, it's a combination of the two.
Okay, so I sit down at the table. I double up in my first half hour at the table. I take my chips and I leave?
That is exactly right. That's what you can do.
All right.
And a number of people did that. They ran one down there last weekend, and it was a huge success.
How many people were playing in it?
First time all, not very much publicity. They had over 100 people sign up for it.
Wow.
Yes.
And what do you have to buy in for?
This was a $330 buy-in.
Uh-huh.
$300 in chips is what you got.
Okay.
And that was real money sitting in front of you.
See, now a lot of people will be freaked out by that who play tournaments, and they think, well, I'm going to get 3,000 in chips. Or, you know, you go play a deep stack in Venetian, you get 15,000 in chips. People are going to go, I only get 300 in chips? But that's like sitting down in a 1-3 game here at Lumiere.
Exactly. On it, and you have that option of cashing out, and a number of people did. Kenny sent me some of the final stuff and how everything worked out on it. They ended up, when it got down to the final, final table, half the money was still there. But throughout the course of it, at every level, there were a few people that would have doubled up or tripled up or something, said, that's good enough for me, and walked away from it.
You know what? I would love this kind of tournament because, as you know, I'm nowhere near as good a tournament player as you are. You know, you made it to 45th in the main event. I didn't leave the suite at the Rio. But whenever I play in a tournament, I can usually get some chips together, but I just can't get that deep run. Even if I play a tournament that's a two-day event and I play 8, 9, 10 hours, and then I bust out, I always feel like, oh, man, that was I didn't get any of my value out of that because I got nothing in return. I played 8, 9, 10 hours, and I got zero. Here, I could play 4 hours, mm-hmm. get myself a nice stack of chips, leave and go somewhere else, play a cash game.
Exactly. I mean, it was great. They started out with just very small blinds, $5 and $5, small and big. That was it. But a 60-second or 60-minute level. Okay. And they actually had a number of people, started with 300, got up to 900, and said, I'm satisfied, goodbye.
Yeah.
And cashed out.
Just as you might do in a regular cash game.
Exactly.
All right, so then what is the incentive for sticking around?
Well, number one, obviously, there are the fewer players and the chips that are still there. There are bigger and bigger piles, like any time you go into a tournament.
Yeah.
Maybe not as much. But then the casino also added money. They put $2,500 into the pot. And that $2,500 was going to go to whomever was at that final table.
Is it winner take all, or does first place get some, second place get some, third place get some?
They actually split it up some. It was going to be winner take all, but when they got down to the last, I think it was four people, they chopped it.
They did a chop. But the way the tournament is set up is it's winner take all.
Yes.
So if you come down to the final three, mm-hmm. and one guy wins a big pot and says, hey, you know what? I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Then you're down to heads up, and those two are rarely going to probably play it out.
Correct.
For whatever's left in there, because one of them is going to go broke.
There you go.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it comes down to. Somebody's going to have a lot of chips in front of them, and at that point, after playing all that way, you're not going to want to play for the chance to get all of the other guys' chips. You're going to want to say, you know what, we're done.
Yeah.
At least I think that's the way most people would do it.
That's the way I think so, too. And they reduced the minutes for a level as it got deeper into it. It went from 60 to 45 to 30.
Oh, I see.
So it also put more pressure on you, you know, on it. I like the way it's structured. You know, when it gets up to a level 10, it's then a 50 and 100 in it, but it's only a 30-minute round.
Uh-huh.
And there's also a $25 blind. So
yeah.
you've got money, or Andy, I'm sorry. So you've got money coming in there all the time. It was just an interesting setup and a concept. Nobody knew how it would work, and there were rave reviews for it. Even the guys that got knocked out liked it.
You know, this reminds me of a cash game I played during the series late one night at the Rio. I went down there about 1 o'clock in the morning, and there were very few people in there, which was spooky in the Amazon room because you're used to seeing 3,000 people in there during
absolutely.
The day playing all the tournaments. There were only a few cash games going on, and I sat down at a 2-5 table. I wanted to play 5-10, but it was full, so I sat down at a 2-5 no-limit hold'em game, and we played for a little while, and then a couple of people busted, and we were down to six-handed. And so I said, hey, is everybody here on the 5-10 list? And we all were. And I said, well, why don't we just make this a 5-10 game? So we actually effectively raised the blinds like we were in a tournament from 2-5 to 5-10. And then people started straddling, making it a 5-10-20 game.
Yeah.
So it's effectively the same thing as playing in this cash tournament. Yeah. I'd never heard of that before. That's interesting.
It was. And there was everything in the world in there. There was even six players that cashed out for less than their entry. So they bought in for $300, but when they got down maybe late in the tournament and they only had $250 left or $200 left, or whatever, they said, my odds of winning this are real slim. So far, I've only lost $100. I'm going to get out instead of going broke.
Or maybe at one point they got down to $40 or $50,
even
doubled
that.
Up a couple of times and said, hey, you know what? I'm going to take my $200. I'm happy. I'm going to leave right now.
There you go.
Yeah.
On it. So it just it gives you so many options on it. I like the idea of it. I've never played in one myself, but I think I would love to.
I like it, too. All right, a couple of other things we've got to get to that are in the poker news. One has to do with my favorite TV reality show called The Amazing Race. You know, we've seen poker players on reality shows. Most recently, of course, Annie Duke on The Apprentice, mm-hmm. who got ripped off by Donald Trump.
You're being very polite.
And a couple of years ago, Bobby Ballon, Jean-Robert Ballon, was on Survivor with his big fat gut hanging out. You know, Bobby's kind of like me. Keep the shirt on.
Yeah, this is true.
Well, now The Amazing Race, which if you haven't seen it, is a race around the world with 11 teams made up of two people on each team. And those two people just have a pre-existing relationship. They could be a married couple. They could be a dating couple. They could be brother and sister. They could be frat brothers or sorority sisters.
That's enough about what they could be.
Well, in this in this case, they're both poker players.
True.
And they're both women.
True.
Maria Ho, who we got to know quite a bit during the series because I kept running into her, and I've actually got a story about Maria, and her good friend Tiffany Michelle, who, of course, became infamous in the 2008 main event by being the last woman standing. And at the 2008 final table where you played as part of the November 9, for getting the second biggest boo from the crowd next to Phil Hellmuth.
And it was close.
It was very close. Phil expected it. Tiffany did not.
No, she did not, actually.
Tiffany built up a reputation as somebody who was not well loved by the poker community. Now, I will tell you that usually when I'm watching The Amazing Race, I don't really care which team wins, although if there's a fat, bald-headed guy, middle-aged, that's who I'm rooting for because that's me. You know, I see myself in that guy.
Somehow or other, I can relate to that.
Otherwise, I have no problem watching attractive women who are involved in a race here. These two women certainly are attractive. But you've got some history with Tiffany. In fact, recent history. Didn't you play against each other in some tournament during
the
series?
Yes, we did. Actually, before the main event, they had the Annie Up for Africa. Very good cause, again, by Annie Duke on that. And I got to sit at the same table with her and Matt Damon and several other notable people there. And it was quite interesting. And I got to play a nice hand against her.
Yeah?
And she still doesn't like me.
Did you bust her?
Didn't bust her, but I took about 80% of her chips.
Wow.
So, yeah. I did the St. Louis trap on her, which, as you're so proud to refer to, people in St. Louis are very adept at doing against other players.
Yeah. Check calling with the nuts, that sort
of
thing?
Yeah, just a minor little thing like that.
All the way to the river?
All the way to the river.
So I don't know what the hand was, and you don't have to give me the details, but I'm just going to guess that you hit the flop big, checked it, let her bet, and smooth called.
Wow. You're psychic.
Okay. Now the turn comes. Your hand, whether it improves or not, you check. And you let her bet, and you smooth call.
Oh, I'm amazed how well you're doing this.
And then on the river, because you had a monster hand, you checked and let her bet. And even though you had already smooth called her twice, she doesn't think you could possibly be strong there, and so she bets again. And then what did you do?
I raised her.
But if I know you, you min-raised her.
Oh, absolutely.
Just to squeeze a little bit more money out of her.
Yeah, and it was one of those she's going, I shouldn't be doing that. I call anyhow.
See, that's one of those things that we've talked about before, about people saying, I'm probably beat here. In fact, I know that I'm beat here, but the bet compared to the pot size compels me to put more money in there, which is a concept I absolutely hate.
I absolutely do, too. And I'll tell you, you're one of the best at being able to lay down a hand, and a good poker player has to be able to lay down a hand.
Yeah.
No matter what, no matter how much money he has in it, basically.
In fact, we had in a cash game here last week in the 5-10 game, there was a monster pot.
Yes.
Where it got to the river, and I mean, there was a huge amount of money in there, and the guy who I was up against bet only about 10% of that monster pot, and I laid it down because I was 100% sure I was beat, and somebody said to me, how can you lay that down with all that money in there? I said, you see these chips in front of me? They're still in front of me.
Yeah.
Because he showed his hand, and I would have been beat.
Yeah. He had the nuts at that time.
He caught an unbelievable gut shot on the river.
True. But.
But, you know, and I'm not saying I'm a genius at that point. I'm just saying there are too many people who look at it and go, well, it's only 10% of what's in there.
That's
right. Maybe it's a $600 pot and I only have to put in $60 or a $6,000 pot, I have to put in $600, whatever it is. People go, well, I can't lay it down for that amount. Yes, you can if you're sure you're beat. Tiffany obviously hasn't learned that lesson.
Well, there was one particular hand that she wished she never got involved in, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And she had a decent amount of chips, too.
How many lessons do you think you have to teach her before she learns?
I'm liable to run into it one time and she teaches me a lesson, but we'll see.
Yeah, I'm putting my money on you. If I were a gambling man, and it turns out that I am.
Okay.
Anyway, Tiffany Michelle and Maria Ho are going to be on the season of The Amazing Race that's actually taping right now. It takes about a month to do.
Yep.
I think that these two women actually gave up playing in the main event at the World Series of Poker to go off and participate in The Amazing Race, which will air. I think that'll be the season that airs this fall. What else do we have to mention here? While you and I were out at the Rio, we never went to the Sapphire Pool.
No, we did not.
And it's a good thing we didn't.
That is very true.
The Sapphire Pool was staffed by some dancers from the strip club Sapphire in Las Vegas, and apparently was a topless pool that was more than just topless women hanging out.
That's a polite way of putting that one, too.
It has now been closed after several arrests for prostitution and drugs, particularly cocaine for the most part, going on around that pool.
But, you know, walking down the alleyway toward the Amazon room, and you see these attractive young women wearing very little on it.
Yes.
The problem was they were wearing so little that you could see every tattoo.
Yes, you could.
Sorry, that's not that attractive when you can't even count the number of tattoos. You have to have prop bets to see how many they have.
I agree with you 100%, and it was right there every time we went down the hall. All right, we'll take a break, and then we'll come back with Joe, the poker coach, McGowan, who got an email from a listener that I think Joe will give some great insight into about playing down. About if you're a mid-level player and you're having some trouble there, maybe you want to play down a level into the low limits or move down from high limits to mid-level limits. there are some pitfalls to that, and our emailer found out what they were, and so we'll see what the poker coach has to say in terms of advice if you find yourself in that situation. Our show tonight, live from the Lumiere Place Poker Room, is brought to you in part by Poker Stars, and of course co-hosted by Dennis Phillips, one of the team Poker Stars pros.
Yeah. Poker Stars, which is an unbelievable site to go. That's where I go to, PokerStars.net. And there's something coming up, guys, that you need to know about. Started today, there are satellites into the biggest, the best, the unbelievable online poker that's going on right now. Go to PokerStars.net, free satellites to get into this.
It's the WCOOP, which stands for?
The World Championship of Online Poker.
This is a big one.
This is huge, guys. I will be playing a number of these events, so will all the other poker pros. It runs the first 2 weeks in September. The satellites started today on PokerStars.net. Go there, visit it, perfect your game, get involved with it. You guys will not believe what's possible to win.
And you can do it for free on PokerStars.net, just as some people ended up at the main event this summer by starting out at PokerStars.net and working their way in there absolutely for free.
Yeah, they awarded almost 2,000 seats to the main event this year.
Unbelievable.
Yes.
So download that software on PokerStars.net and find the poker star in you. We're right back here on 590 The Fan, KFNS and KFNS.com. And don't forget the website, thechipleader.com.
Closet cleaning is a worthwhile venture, clearing up usable space and resulting in items for charitable donation, like that keyboard tie. It's a win-win, but it takes a lot of energy. You should clean your closet next week and fuel up this week. For instance, carb up on the delicious pasta dishes at the House of Savoy, or meet your daily recommended dose of random cravings at the Kitchen Buffet and Bistro. To recap, eat now, clean your closet later. Now is the time for whatever turns you on at Lumiere Place. Visit LumierePlace.com for more info. Must be 21 to enter casino. Gambling problem? Call 1-888-BETS-OFF.
You're at the Lumiere Place Final Table with Dennis Phillips and Paul Harris on 590 The Fan KFNS.
We are live from Lumiere Place in downtown St. Louis. By the way, Lumiere has a terrific new tournament they started last month and now are doing on the second Saturday of every month. I mention it today because this would be this coming Saturday that you can play. That'll be August 8th, the second Saturday of the month. Here at the Lumiere Place Poker Room, it's a No Limit Texas Hold'em $325 buy-in event. You get 5,000 in tournament chips, 45-minute blinds. They're limiting it to 50 players, but that still means there's a $13,000 prize pool that you're playing for. It starts at 4 o'clock this Saturday afternoon at the Lumiere Place Poker Room in downtown St. Louis.
Now, that's the kind of tournaments that I cut my teeth on. You guys should come down here. It's a good, good tournament.
Absolutely. You played tournaments just like that for 2 years
before
you went off and played in the main event. That's a great training ground for it. This portion of the show is brought to you by One Time Apparel. I mentioned in the last segment that our friend Kevin Steffen from One Time is down in Tunica now at the World Poker Open at the Gold Strike there, and he'll be there for another week or so while they move into their main event. He started selling his T-shirts and hats and sweatshirts at Pokerpalooza at the World Series of Poker at the Rio this summer. That world debut was so successful that Kevin has taken his act down the road. And when I talked to him a couple of days ago, he said, I'm already out of sweatshirts.
I was about to say, he was running into problems down there. He didn't take enough stuff with him that was selling so hot.
He told me he's making more and he's getting it down there, and there'll be plenty to supply people who are buying it online
as well.
You do not have to follow Kevin around on the tournament circuit to get his stuff. In fact, I'm wearing a red one-time hat right now as we're doing the show. They've got hats, they've got shirts, they've got baseball jerseys, they've got hoodies, both pull-up and zip-up. They've got these great little pink camo hats for ladies. They've got ringer T-shirts and scoop-neck T-shirts for the ladies. They've got a lucky leprechaun T-shirt and a Why Not Me T-shirt and organic T-shirts and so much more. Go to the website. It's onetimeapparel.com. Charge it to your credit card. Use PayPal. And Kevin is giving a portion of all of his sales proceeds to various charitable organizations here in the St. Louis area. So this is a poker player's paradise for clothing. Go to onetimeapparel.com, and you can wear the same stuff that I wear when we're doing the Lumiere Place Final Table. All right, now let's bring in Joe McGowan, the poker coach. How are you tonight, Joe?
I'm doing great, Paul. How are you guys doing? How's it going, Dennis?
Oh, it's going great, guy. Absolutely.
Joe, I want to hit you with an email we got from a listener tonight. Our email address is DennisPhillipsPoker@gmail.com. And I know that we didn't get to a lot of email questions from people while we were out in Vegas for the World Series of Poker, so we're going to try to do this on a more regular basis. So if you've got questions about hands you played or situations you found yourself in, email them to DennisPhillipsPoker@gmail.com, and we'll get to them just like we're going to get to this one. A listener named Mike writes, please ask the poker coach what I should do in this situation. I usually play in a 2-5 game, although sometimes I play 5-10. Lately, I found that at both levels, the players are really, really good. And so I decided I would move down and play in a 1-2 game. I haven't played low limits for a while. When I stepped down to this 1-2 game, I found that I just couldn't beat the game. What am I doing wrong? Is this just a string of bad luck? Can the poker coach offer me some words of advice? What do you say, Joe, to a guy who's stepped down his game and finds that he still can't beat the table?
Okay, sure. Well, I think there's definitely a lot of reasons why this person might be having trouble. You said his name was Mike, right?
Right.
You know, I can relate to that, and I think you said it earlier in today's show that you normally play the 5-10 and sometimes 5-10 with a straddle, and you said you were playing 2-5 at first. So, you know, for me, a lot of times I'll go out just for, you know, movies, and my wife loves poker, so a night out for us might be, you know, a little bit of poker and dinner and a movie. And,
yep.
You know, I can't have her play in the size game that I play in because she's, you know, a little more of a, you know, intermediate beginner type player. So we just go play for fun, and I'll find myself playing 4-8 limit, believe it or not, or, you know, 1-3 no limit or 1-2 no limit. I'll play with her. Or I'll be waiting like what you do. You know, if you can't get in the 5-10 game, your game of choice, you might sit in 1-3 rather than wait 4 hours, right? So you're going to play a smaller game. And I think this happens to a lot of players. I think the number one tip off the top of my head that I could give is to tell yourself that these are chips. You need to forget that they're dollar chips or $2 chips. You have to say, look, these are chips, and I'm going to do everything possible to make money out of this game and not to go into that game, you know, calling, splashing around, making bad calls. Oh, it's only $6. I'll see the turn. Oh, it's only $9 to call the raise. I have a, you know, 3-5. I'll call. You can't call with these types of hands to kind of snap somebody off to stack them because it might be 10% of your chips to call $9. You know, if it's a 1-2 game with a $100 cap, which is a very popular game, you have to be very, very careful of what pots you play, the pot odds, pushing people around in the smaller games. You have to make adjustments in all different games, whether you step up in games or go down in games. Is this making sense to you, Paul?
Yeah, absolutely.
So far?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Very much so.
You know, there's, you know, some other stuff here I'll get into. Dennis, do you have anything you want to chime in with so far? Do you want me to keep going?
No, keep going on it. The one thing I'd say is, first of all, I do agree with you. Second of all, and I think you're probably going to get into it, is playing to the level of experience at your table.
Cut back on fancy play.
Exactly.
Right.
I'll let you go ahead and take it, Joe, but that was one of the things I was going to comment about.
Yeah, sure. Okay, well, you know, you're exactly right. You have to know that you can't pull off these elaborate bluffs. You know, normally when I flop a set and it's a rainbow board and it's disconnected, I might just call and then I might pop on the turn, you know, something like that. And good players can identify that and say, oh, he clearly has a set. You know, he didn't raise me on the flop. He let me do my continuation, but he just called. The texture of the board is this. Okay, he's got a set. I'll fold. And you really had nothing. You made a nice bluff. You're playing in a smaller game, they're not going to be able to figure that out. You know, and I think on the other side of that, where you can't maybe bluff as much because they'll call you, you need to get in more thin value bets. You need to be able to bet the river a little bit lighter than normal when you think you're good because they will call. You have a little more calling stations in the smaller games. So there's a way you can get extra chips. But I'd be very careful. Yep, go ahead.
Explain a little bit more for some of our beginner listeners what a thin value bet is. Explain what a value bet is and then what you mean by a thin value bet.
Well, a value bet typically is termed more for the river, but it no question could be the turn. It could be anywhere. But for the most part, let's just say you're heads up versus your opponent. A value bet, you're putting chips into the pot because you believe you have the best hand and the other person's going to call you. And you might do that, like the thinnest value bet might be you're doing it with ace high because you have maybe like the nut no pair. You might have ace king, but you think this guy's going to look you up with king high, or he's going to look you up with a weaker ace. If that's what you really put him on, that would be a really thin value bet on the river where you might figure just to check, you know, a second pair with a marginal kicker or a second pair with top kicker. Oh, I'll just check the river. You know, I'm afraid of getting raised. You know, in that size game, if I have second pair, but I know this guy's going to call me with pocket fours, you know, an under pair, you really need to bet that river. And sometimes you get paid pretty good making an over, you know, an over bet where they'll actually pay you off. So this is a way you could beat that game and get some extra chips by getting value bets in. But be careful with the bluffs. You know, the players are a lot more readable in that game. Typically, their tells are a lot stronger and a lot more genuine. So you can pick spots to bluff, but you got to be careful because they tend to call. So, you know, staying away from bad bluffs or elaborate bluffs, making more value bets, making sure you adjust to the game, not calling with, you know, if it's been raised to $9, say you're playing whatever, 1-2, 1-3, been raised to $9 and then someone calls, and then someone makes it $24. I look down at pocket sixes in all of my games, I call. You know, and now in my game it might be, you know, raised to $60, called, and then someone makes it $220. I'm going to call because I have 12,000 behind me, you know. And the implied odds are that if I can hit my six, you know, I might get half this guy's stack. You know, I might get more. In that game, if you're calling and it's now 25% of your stack, you know, you might think, oh, it's only $25. You know, I usually play with $4,000 in front of me playing 5-10 or whatever you play. I'll call for 25 to hit the six. It's a horrible call because it's 25% of your stack and the odds aren't right to do it. Or even worse, to try to do it with like a 3-5 suited or 7-8 suited, something like that. I'd stay away from spots like that.
Isn't another factor in there, Dennis, something that you've talked about a lot, which is knowing how much all the other players on the table have?
Oh, it's one of my pet peeves when people don't know. And Joe brings up a very valid point. If there is implied odds, if you have a chance for a major draw or something, you've got to be rewarded for it or it's not worth the risk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if the guy doesn't have any chips to give you, why are you taking the risk on it?
Yeah. So if you've got a flush draw on the flop, even if it's the nut flush draw, and you look over and there's maybe $40 in the pot, or let's say $30 in the pot, you look over and he's only got $22 left out of his stack, you're probably, you know, all that money's going to go in on the turn.
Yeah.
So if you don't hit your card, then you're going to be faced with a decision right there about whether you want to play for that river for that amount of money. There's very little chance that that $22 is not going to end up in the middle of the pot one way or the other.
If you're on some sort of a draw and you catch it, you want to be rewarded. If there's nothing left to be rewarded with, you know, there. And one other step that I'll take on it, there are good and bad players at every level. I've seen some very good players at a 1-3 table or something like that.
Yeah.
So you need to go in there,
That's true.
Will play their stacked accordingly and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So don't just assume, and I've seen this happen before, that you're coming from, quote, the big game, and you're going to go down there and play against these other guys.
Yeah.
Let me tell you,
I'll just beat up on these punks. They don't know as much as I do.
It don't happen that way a lot of times. Let me tell you, they'll sit over there, and they will clean a guy out that comes with that kind of a chip on his shoulder.
Well, I think that's the attitude that Mike, the guy who emailed us, might have had.
Yeah.
You know what? The 2-5 and the 5-10 have been tough. I'll play down. Ooh. The 1-2 game. I'll deign to let them sit in my greatness.
Oh, my gosh. If that was the case, he's in big, big trouble. You know, I don't know whether that was the case or not, but I am telling you, just because a person's playing in a 1-2 or a 1-3, that doesn't. It may be an inexperience is the reason it's there. But you can still be a good player and just be inexperienced with it.
Mm-hmm.
But there are good players at every level.
And we also know, you and I both know, here in St. Louis and in lots of other places, and Joe, I'm sure you know this too, people who stay at those low limits because they can beat that game consistently.
For sure.
And why would they want to go up and play in a bigger game where the competition might be tougher when every day they're going home with a nice wad of cash in their pocket that they're taking off of that table?
Yeah,
right.
No, you bring a valid point. So,
I think another quick point might be, guys, if say I'm playing a 25-50 no-limit game and I've been playing all day and maybe I bought in for $10,000, I'm having a good day and I'm up to $22,000. And now someone else, you know, and there's no cap, someone else might have $40,000, they sit down, another guy has $30,000, they have me covered. I get involved in a pot, and all of a sudden he bets $4,000 on the turn, and I'm thinking, wow, if I call here, you know, I have to call the river because I know he's going to fire another $7,000, $8,000 on the river, whatever it might be. This is a huge decision. You know, wow, this is a lot of money. I'm not sure if I want to do this. I'm not sure if I can make this call. I think I'm good, but, geez, is he bluffing? Is he not? In the smaller game, if it's $200 in front of them, you know, with even a regular job, it's not as stressful. Even though it matters to them and the chips are there and the whole deal and they want to win, you know, for them to call, you know, the turn $50 and then have to worry about you betting maybe $100 on the river, I don't think it's important and it matters for those players, but it's just not the same, I think, when it's, you know, that, you know, $10,000, $20,000.
Yep.
That you're trying to protect that stack. I think for them to reach back in their pocket, pull out another $100 and rebuy in, that they look you up lighter. So the fear factor, if you will, in the smaller game, it's not quite the same as the bigger game that our emailer Mike might be used to, so he might want to be careful of that as well.
Those are great points. Mike, thank you so much for the email. I know I berated you a little bit there, but you gave us something great to talk about on the show, so we love you. We appreciate it very much. If you've got a question for the show, specifically for Joe McGowan, the poker coach, or for Dennis or for me, you can email dennisphillipspoker@gmail.com, and we'll try to get to one of your shows on a future segment with the poker coach. Joe, have a great week. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, guys.
When Take care, Joe.
When we come back here, we'll be joined by Kevin Schaffel, who is one of this year's November 9 at the World Series of Poker main event. As the Lumiere Place final table continues from downtown St. Louis on 5-9 of the Fan KFNS and KFNS.com.
Closet cleaning is a worthwhile venture, clearing up usable space and resulting in items for charitable donation, like that keyboard tie. It's a win-win, but it takes a lot of energy. You should clean your closet next week and fuel up this week. For instance, carb up on the delicious pasta dishes at the House of Savoy, or meet your daily recommended dose of random cravings at the Kitchen Buffet and Bistro. To recap, eat now, clean your closet later. Now is the time for whatever turns you on at Lumiere Place. Visit LumierePlace.com for more info. Must be 21 to enter casino. Gambling problem? Call 1-888-BETS-OFF.
Tuesday night is poker night on 590 The Fan KFNS. So let's go back live to Lumiere Place Casino Poker Room with Dennis Phillips and Paul Harris.
This portion of our show is brought to you by the Poker Players Alliance, thepppa.org. That's the website, thepppa.org. Go there and find out about the group that is fighting for your poker playing rights, both online and offline. There are about 300,000 poker players who signed the petition online that went to Congress a couple of weeks ago, and Dennis was one of those people who delivered them to members of the House of Representatives and the United States Senate to urge them to vote for the bill that Barney Frank has put forth that would essentially tell the government, get out of my poker game.
Another polite way to put it. That wasn't the way you worded it in private.
Well, that's not... It's also not the wording they had on the petition. I'm just trying to simplify things for the show and keep them clean so we're still on the air.
Not the Sapphire Room or whatever.
Okay. Right, yeah. $20 gets you into the Poker Players Alliance, and that money will be used by the lobbyists in Washington to fight for your rights, not only in Washington, but in the 50 state capitals around the country where poker is threatened by people who want to stop you from playing in your home game or your charity game or any game. So go to thepppa.org and find out how you can join the Poker Players Alliance, one of the proud sponsors of the Lumiere Place Final Table. And now let's meet a guy who's going to be at the final table of this year's World Series of Poker main event, one of this year's November 9 for 2009.
Kevin, how are you doing?
I am great. Thanks for having me on the show.
Has it even sunk in yet?
It's been about 3 weeks, and I highly recommend it for anybody who's been dreaming about it or thinking about getting to the final table. It's everything that it's supposed to be, and then some. I don't really think it has sunk in yet, though, to be honest with you.
And honestly, it probably won't some. And there's been a lot of comparisons, actually, between you and I in some of the different articles. Again, we were one of the older ones at each of our respective tables. It was
right.
Life-changing for both of us. You know, we've been playing for several years with very minimal success at it. Just so many different things like that, all the way down to even living in a friend's bedroom.
Right.
So now that's a heck of a comparison. But, you know, I have to say I met Kevin out there. I've talked to him. We had breakfast after it was over. A heck of a gentleman.
Now, Kevin, I'm curious about something because I was reading about you on ESPN.com. They did a whole thing on all the members of the November 9, and it said Kevin Schaffel, 51, of Florida, said soon after securing his place in the November 9, I have no plans to jet around the country. If they want me, they can come to Florida. He insisted he'll be getting away from poker. Has that been true for the last 3 weeks, and will it be true for the next 3 months?
You know, I think that may have been taken out of context. I'm not really sure where when I said that, but if they say I said it, then it's probably true. No, I haven't. I played a little bit. You know, in Florida, they only have small stakes poker, $100 max buy-in, and I've enjoyed going with my son and a couple of times, and that's it. I haven't played in a bigger game since I made the final table. I am planning on going out to California soon to play in some tournaments out there and some cash games. But actually, I needed the 3 weeks off to collect myself a little bit.
You really do, because that is so. You play day after day after day and hours each day. I'm lucky they didn't get some really weird comments from me when that was over, let me tell you, because I'm not for sure some of the comments that I made, even what I was saying when I was saying it. So,
now I know that at one point I probably said, and I've heard other people say, I'm not going to look at a flop for a long time. And I think that lasted about 7 days. And, you know, playing poker for 40 years, you know, that isn't going to last very long. So I was ready to actually start playing again after about a week.
Well, I noticed in one of your interviews you talked about two key words that you used, calm and patience. Now, that strikes home to a lot of good poker players. You want to explain those?
Yeah, I was watching Wimbledon before the tournament started, and they were asking Venus and Serena, how do you perform so well on the biggest stage, you know, at Wimbledon, in front of all these people, in front of the world? And and even just the way they said it was calming. And they just said, you know, we just try to maintain our patience and stay calm. And, you know, it's not easy to do when you look down at pocket aces sometimes, to remain calm. And it's not easy to do when you get bluffed out, like Antonio bluffed me out he just schooled me on one hand out there. And I just remained calm and kept to my game plan after that. And I'm sure the hand's going to be shown on TV, but I remember patting him on the shoulder or back and, you know, just saying what a great play, you know. But I just remained calm after that. And I don't know where it came from, because I'm not always, or I haven't always been that calm. So, you know, I'm going to thank Serena and Venus, hopefully in person one day, for those comments.
Well, that is words of wisdom. Anybody listening to the show, I'm telling you, there's not a person that makes the final table that doesn't run into that, where somebody outbluffs them, outplays them, outdraws them, whatever it happens to be. If you lose your composure, even for a few hands there, it can cost you the tournament.
Right.
So you remain calm.
Right.
Yeah, one hand. That's all it takes.
This is the Lumiere Place final table. Paul Harris and Dennis Phillips talking with Kevin Schaffel, one of this year's November 9. I'm going to throw two other words at you. Dennis mentioned calm and patience. I'm going to mention Phil and Ivy. You've got to play against a guy who's generally acknowledged as the best player in the world. Yes, you've got more chips than him, but what are your thoughts on playing against Phil Ivy this fall?
Well, I mean, it's actually going to be an honor to play with him, and I'm certainly glad he's on my right, so that'll help a little
good
bit.
Point.
Oh, you already know what the seating arrangement is going to be at the table?
Yeah.
When we sat down as 10 for the final table, we're at the same seats, excluding Jordan Smith, who got eliminated. So,
same way that he did last year.
And I've played with Phil before in tournaments, and I played with him when he was the chip leader at the table. And you really don't want to be at the table with him when he's the chip leader. He's just very aggressive, and it's very difficult to play when he's the chip leader. The few times that I played with him this tournament, which was not that often, he didn't have as many chips. And so I don't want to say docile, but definitely quieter than he can be. So, you know, listen, everybody at the final table can play. You know, I'm not going to be looking at one particular person when it comes to make a play or when it comes to be my turn. I mean, there's just everybody can play.
Do you want to share your thoughts on the current chip leader, Darvin Moon, who's got close to 60 million in chips? Almost 30% of all the chips that are there.
I actually played a lot with Darvin, and I remember one day that, the first time I played with him, we probably played for 4 or 5 hours, and he was, I would say, extremely quiet for the amount of time we played together. But every time he was in there, he had a pretty good hand. I mean, I didn't see him lose that many hands. So, you know, that's fine if you can get that many big hands. I'm hoping I can get that many hands in November. I didn't see anything unusual. Now, I may see something unusual when I watch, the shows airing between August 18th and November. Maybe something will surprise me. But he even said that the cards just ran over him for the whole tournament, which is a beautiful thing. You know, it has to happen to somebody. But I didn't see him make any mistakes. You know, people can say what they want about him, and you know, as far as how many cards he got, but listen, somebody has to get him, and I didn't see him make any mistakes.
You know, I think it's a very valid point. It is. Getting the cards is one thing, and making use of them is another.
Yeah.
Very good. Got a couple quick questions for you. When you went out there, was everything the way you expected it in the level of play and everything? And then what are your thoughts on this four-month layoff, too? What are you going to use it for? How are you going to benefit from it?
The level of play, I think, is pretty... I would say it's been pretty standard the last couple of years. I mean, you have a couple of soft spots here and there, but for the most part, you know, most people know how to play. And as far as, I'm sorry, the second question was the four-month layoff. I didn't originally think that it was good. I'm used to playing long hours and, you know, for 10, 12, 14 days at a time. But after making the final table now, I can honestly say that it's a great thing. For me personally, it's a great thing because I'm going to have a chance to have maybe 75 or 100 friends and family that are going to come out and enjoy it with us, you know, enjoy it with me. And
you know, if you dress them all up in button-down white shirts, Kevin, if you dress them all up in button-down white shirts and Cardinal hats, you're sure to be on ESPN.
Well, actually, I'm going to leave that as a surprise, but we are going to have something. We are going to, they will be wearing something, but I'm just going to leave that open for now.
I think,
but no,
it'll
just,
be interesting.
Just for that alone, it's worth it.
It'll be very interesting to me to see how many people follow the Dennis Phillips model. You know, last year it was basically you and Kelly Kim, the chip leader and the guy in ninth place. You were the ones with any kind of substantial following there. This year, it'll be interesting. I mean, Kevin just said he's going to have 75, maybe 100 people there.
Yeah.
The place should be packed and very partisan this year.
Yeah, it should be awesome. I'm going to go back
great.
To it. I loved it. Well, Kevin,
Dennis, how many did you have? You had about 200 last year? I mean, 200 or 300?
346.
Oh, I couldn't get there. I don't know that many people. I don't even know that many people. I'm actually, with all the people that have contacted me from high school, that never wanted to talk to me in high school, and all of a sudden they want to be my best friend. I still couldn't get there. That's amazing. 346.
It's unbelievable. 346.
I'm pushing 100 at the most. Yeah.
Well, Kevin, like I said at the beginning of this, you handle yourself like a gentleman. I'm proud to call you a friend, and I'm proud to welcome you to Poker Stars. Congratulations on your contract. That's something people strive for years and never achieve, and you've got it. Good job.
Well, I appreciate the time you spent with me and the good advice you've given me, and I'm looking forward to a long friendship with you as well, so it's mutual.
Well, just have one thing. I'm quite sure we're going to run into each other in the next couple of months at some different tournaments. Don't pick on me, okay?
Yeah, right. No, that doesn't happen. You know, when we get to the poker table, you know as well as I do, you got to bust everybody.
You got it. That's the way you play it. You sit down and have a beer afterwards, but at the poker table,
yeah,
it's all play.
There you go.
Kevin,
thank you
very much. Thank you very much for joining us here at the Lumiere Place Final Table. We'll see you at the main event final table in November.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it, and anytime you know, have any other questions for me, I'm here to answer them. So
you
have a great
Thank
evening.
You very much.
All right, take
you,
care, Kevin. Thank you.
Okay.
Kevin Schaffel, one of this year's November 9 here at the Lumiere Place Final Table with Paul Harris and Dennis Phillips. And since you mentioned that he is a fellow Poker Stars pro now, mm-hmm. You helped get him signed up there, as a matter of fact.
Yep.
Talk a little bit about Poker Stars as one of our sponsors at Lumiere Place Final Table.
Well, again, Poker Stars, it's the site I play at. It's the only site I play at. And, again, it's 7/24 of poker. It's every kind of game you can imagine.
7/24.
7 days. 24/7? Okay, it's been a long day. Never mind. I make up my own stuff as I go along here. I'm still thinking about the Sapphire Pool or something, okay?
That's what it is.
That must be what it is.
Yeah.
24/7. How's that?
That's much better.
Much better. But again, at all levels of play, at all kinds of play, I was playing Raz the other day on it because mm-hmm. I'm not very good at playing Raz, and I need to get a little bit better.
Using that to learn?
Using that to learn. Mm-hmm. And they taught me a good lesson. They took my money. But it's well worth it, okay? I enjoy playing that. It's relaxing. It's fun. You can play with everybody there. You can make new friends. It's just a great time.
You could play 7 hours a day for 24 days. That's 724. That's what you were talking about.
I knew what I was talking.
There you go. Download the software by going to PokerStars.net and find the PokerStar in you. We're right back with more. In fact, we'll talk a little bit about a couple of charitable tournaments and a brand-new online poker show as well when we come back here on 590 The Fan, KFNS, and KFNS.com.
In just 2 short years, World Series of Poker champ Dennis Phillips has earned over $4.5 million because Dennis knows when to hold a great deal. That's why Amini's Home Rugs and Game Room is his game room superstore. Hurry to Amini's Home Rugs and Game Room now for factory closeout deals on poker tables, craps tables, blackjack tables, 3-in-1 casino tables, and accessories. Plus, get Amini's closeout deals on complete game room packages, sale priced from just $1,995. Right now, Brunswick Billiard Game Room Suites are thousands off, and American-made pool tables are just $995. Hurry to Amini's now for blowout deals on leather sectionals, area rugs, bars, bar stools, video arcade games, and home theater seating. Hold your deal interest-free with 2-year layaway. So take a tip from Dennis. Get your great deal today at Amini's Home Rugs and Game Room, Highway 40 and Boone's Crossing in Chesterfield Valley, the home of the Copper Dome Amini's.
Before they sit down to play tonight, they're talking poker with you right now. Live from Lumiere Place Casino and Hotel in downtown St. Louis, here are Dennis Phillips and Paul Harris at the Lumiere Place Final Table on 590 The Fan, KFNS.
Yeah, the room is packed. Every table filled. They're playing 3-6. They're playing 1-3. They're playing 5-10. There's a lot of chip action going on behind us, and in fact, there are people who are waiting to use the table that we're sitting at right now
for some
cash games, plus tournaments that go on here every night at 6 o'clock as well. This portion of our show is brought to you by Reactor Watch.
Reactor Watch. This is the watch that I wear all the time. Every time I go to a tournament, somebody, dealers, floor people, or other players, ask to see the watch. If this was a less of a quality watch, I'd be wearing the little clasp out of it. I take it off so often to hand it down there. But this is simply the best-built performance watch in the world. That's all there is to it. Regardless, they will match any comparison anywhere. And in the rare case that you would actually have something to go wrong with it, they fix it, no questions asked. Mm-hmm. They are that confident that it will not happen. And Reactor Watch is a lot more than that, too. They also support a tremendous amount of charity, do work all around the country. We're joined here now by a gentleman who works closely with the charities here. Corey, how are you doing?
I'm great, Dennis. How are you doing tonight?
I'm always doing well on that. Can you tell us a little bit about the event that's coming up?
Yeah, we have a great event coming up this Saturday. It's the Allen Green Poker Tournament. And Alan was a good buddy of ours who passed away a couple years ago, and big poker player and a big supporter of charities. And so what we wanted to do is just continue the tradition, and so we created the Allen Green 4 Fund, and the mission is just to benefit 4 great local charities here in St. Louis, which are Big Brothers Big Sisters, the Ronald McDonald House Charities, the Kelo Foundation for Diabetes, and the Siteman Cancer Center. And the money is divided equally 4 ways at the end of each year.
That's terrific. So, how much is the buy-in?
The buy-in for this tournament is $150, and about half of it's going to go to the charities and getting some food and beer for the tournament, and then the rest will go in the way of prizes.
And I think we also got some bounties we're going to put on some people. Nobody,
you're going to play in this event?
I am. I will be there, folks.
Oh, please put a big bounty on his head. I can't tell you how much I laugh when somebody gets paid a bounty for knocking him out of a tournament.
Well, we are really excited about that, Dennis, and we appreciate you coming out and supporting our fund. And I know for sure, in a tie-in with Reactor, we're going to be giving away a Reactor watch to knock out Dennis, and I'm sure there's going to be a few other things that we'll add on to that. But
well, I think there's going to be a silent auction there. I'm sure there'll be some nice items at that one. Like I said, I will be there. Anything I can do at that tournament to help raise money for these charities, 100% of whatever I raise will go to these charities, period. on that. So come on out there. I can sign some autographs. Knock me out. If you can knock me out and get that reaction, this is going to be tough. Everybody's going to be after me.
That's right.
Good grief. Talk about an X on your back.
I can't wait for you to start trying to do your little stealing and late position raises, and then people are just going to move all in because they want to take you on. You see a lot of that. Phone number for people who want to play this Saturday.
Yes, the phone number is 314-368-8621.
368-8621.
Correct.
That's this Saturday, August 8th. It is a benefit for four great charities put on by a lot of friends of
Alan Green.
Alan Green,
yep.
And Reactor Watch is one of the sponsors of that. All right.
I will be there.
Corey, thanks for stopping by. We appreciate
thanks
it.
Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.
Good luck with the event.
Thank you.
Another one of the charitable events that Dennis Phillips is proud to be a part of, and we're happy to mention it here and plug it here on the Lumiere Place Final Table. Now let's bring in Bernard Lee, our friend who we saw quite a bit of in Las Vegas during the World Series of Poker. In fact, he was borrowing our broadcast equipment one night to interview your buddy Peter Eastgate, and now joins us live from Boston, where he hosts his own poker show up there and is also involved in something brand new on ESPN. Hello, Bernard. How are you?
Hello, gentlemen. How is everybody?
Oh, having so much fun. Actually, we are.
What's this new venture you're doing with ESPN, some sort of online TV show?
Yeah, well, ESPN obviously is the leader in the television coverage, especially obviously for the World Series of Poker. Right now it's going on as the WSOP Champions Invitational, the one that Tom McAvoy won. Next week will be Ante Up for Africa. And of course, we go right into the World Series main event, where, as everyone knows, Dennis had another phenomenal run this year. I mean, it's going to be named after you, Dennis, if you do this again one more year, I'm telling you. what we're basically doing is ESPN has decided to expand its coverage beyond just the TV, and what they wanted to do is really put a program on that is, we really believe, truly needed, and it's kind of a internet program-based show, web-based show, weekly show that's going to be not only introducing the November 9, not only looking at inside poker, but also bringing in some really high-profile name players. We just had Chris Moneymaker, and a gentleman by last name by Phillips might be coming by next week for our show.
Are you going out to Bristol to shoot this thing with him?
I am going to Bristol, and Bernard and I might even try to get a round of golf in out there. And if he knew how badly I played golf.
That's right. So
prop bets, Bernard. Prop bets.
We'll see how much money he takes off of me.
Yeah. So the show is a one-hour show that airs on ESPN.com?
Right. It's actually a 30-minute show.
30.
We usually have news. We'll have a guest. Again, next week will be Dennis himself talking about it. We have a segment called Under the Gun, which if people are familiar with SportsCenter, kind of like Coors Cold Hard Facts, where we rapid-fire questions. We actually also show unseen footage that you didn't make the actual coverage and was kind of put on the cutting room floor. We pick it back up, and we show you those hands and kind of additional footage, and then we also, I have a segment where we talk about my favorite hand, and we go through hands that are very relevant that came off of my book, ironically the same as your radio show called The Final Table, which is my column. But we have a host, Laura Lane, who is actually a senior reporter for an entertainment magazine called OK Magazine, but she's done a lot of work with ESPN, the magazine, and done a lot of work in poker interviewing a lot of people for the entertainment side. So I think I've told her, welcome, you're the new face of poker, and I think a lot of people are going to enjoy her as the host. And, of course, Andrew Feldman, who's the poker editor at ESPN.com, joins us as well. And I am very, very fortunate that they decided to overlook ugly and decided to put me on camera. As they said, I always have a good voice for radio, and I'm the lead analyst, co-host for the show.
Well, congratulations on that. I haven't seen the show yet, but I'm looking forward to seeing it. Is this the debut week? Is it online yet?
Yep, it came online this afternoon. If you go on ESPN.com, it was, as a little while ago, it was actually on the main page as one of the lead four videos. However, if you go to ESPN.com ESPN.com/poker. It is the lead story. Or anytime, you can go to ESPN.com and search Inside Deal. Again, Inside Deal. That's the name of the show. And you can find it, and we're going to pretty much go right now until the November 9. And, you know, the hope is that the show continues on, but that's what we're going to give it a trial right now. That's what we're set for, but I firmly believe the interest. Already the forums are going crazy all afternoon long, and Twitter, people are joining like crazy. If you're interested in joining us on there, it's Inside Deal. ESPN Inside Deal, so, you know, twitter.com/ESPN Inside Deal, and it's been received really, really well. Good. Well, Chris had a great interview. Unfortunately, since I've talked with Chris numerous times, we brought out some interesting topics, such as that he lost his bracelet for a little bit, that he was trying to lose the satellite that got him into the World Series. Funny stories that I think a lot of people didn't know about, and we brought them out, and there's been a lot of talk about that. And we did a funny little, the equivalent of a This Is SportsCenter clip at the beginning of it, and we'll do things like that. And we may get Dennis's acting skills involved as well next week.
Oh, you really are stretching it here.
Now, I want to ask you, because Dennis Bernard mentioned the Champions Invitational, which is airing tonight on ESPN. You and I were both in the room there, in the Amazon room. Bernard, I don't know if you were there when that was going on. But it was amazing to see them, as Jeffrey Pollack introduced all of these guys who have won the main event and were there to play in this event.
Absolutely unbelievable. And then I was right there, and I got to be the railbird and sit there by these tables, and you turn this way, and you see a whole mess of winners. You turn this way, you see a whole mess of winners. I'm telling you, it was unbelievable.
Yeah. From Doyle Brunson to Amarillo Slim to Tom McAvoy to the more recent winners. It was interesting to me, and we saw a little bit of this last week on ESPN's coverage of the 40K event, that Greg Raymer, who ended up third in that, was going so deep in the 40K that he couldn't even play the first part of the Champions Invitational, although when there was a break, he went over and played a couple of hands and said hello to everybody there. I didn't know that was going on at the same time.
Yep.
Absolutely one of the few players that have had to play two televised events on ESPN at the exact same time, running back and forth. It's pretty impressive.
All right. For people who want to find Bernard Lee, you can go to BernardLeePoker.com. And your show, like ours, is also on Rounders Radio.
Absolutely. So people who are listening to Rounders Radio right now, you actually might be knowing about this video as we speak, because Rounders Radio has put it on the main page, RoundersRadio.com. The video is right on that page itself for the ESPN Inside Deal, and you can watch it right from there. So we thank Rounders Radio, and I believe they're going to be putting it up every week. So you don't really have to go far for people who are listening on Rounders Radio. Just go right to the home page, and boom, every Tuesday it should be up and running right before basically our shows.
All right, Bernard, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, as always. Dennis, look forward to seeing you in a few days.
That sounds good to me.
Okay,
Bernard
thanks,
Lee
guys.
Joining us
appreciate
here.
It.
Take care. Bernard Lee joining us here at the Lumiere Place Final Table on 590 The Fan, KFNS, and KFNS.com. Next week, Dennis, you're going to get another member of the November 9 to join us.
Yep.
And we're not sure exactly who that's going to be.
Steve or Eric, probably. I'm not for sure which. I'll find out later tonight, probably.
All right. Our thanks to our sponsors, React Your Watch and Lumiere Place Casino and Hotel and Poker Stars and the Poker Players Alliance and One Time Apparel. This is the Lumiere Place Final Table, airing live every Tuesday night from 7 to 8 on 590 The Fan, KFNS, and KFNS.com, and our podcasts on thechipleader.com.